This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Well, there you have it. From the album Busting Loose, music of the great Roberta Flack, Love Always Commands. We are taking it easy, man. It's a Sunday. It's so easy, just like a Sunday morning. And of course, because it is a Sunday morning, we're taking it easy here on Power Week, your Sunday marketplace of ideas, coming to you live from Dobsonville Stadium, the home of Moroka Swallows Football Club. Yeah. And that's where the Premier of Gauteng, Panyaza Lesufi, will be allocating confirmation letters of employment for the youth in terms of his youth unemployment program. Yeah, so we hope to speak to some of the officials, including him, when if things goes according to plan, pertaining to this particular program. And of course, there are some questions that we will pose to the Premier in terms of some of the pronouncements he made about getting rid of crime, because if we have to grow the economy of the province, we need to bring stability and get rid of lawlessness so that investors, both domestic and internationally, can invest their resources in the province and grow the economy. So there's so much. If we can get the opportunity to speak to Panyaza Lesufi, we're going to reflect too. Also, the issue of kids, you know, that die having, you know, eight things that are not healthy with this spaza shops, because he made pronouncements, that is Premier Panyaza Lesufi, that the spaza shops that are in the townships, and of course obviously also in the city center, that are owned by foreign nationals, are going to be taken back to the South Africans because of this township economy strategy that they're working on. So as to when that is going to happen and how it's going to be done, so we might get the opportunity, because that as well, it falls into the category of employment strategy by the Gauteng government. But sometime we need to ask about the how, you know, how, and of course, where will the money be coming from in terms of making this and ambitious program work. So guys, while we are trying to get some members from the department, from the Gauteng government, feel free to get in touch with us. There's a number of issues that we discussed with our special guest in the past hour, Tawasa Dooms, pertaining to political related matters, the issues of elections, and of course the big manifesto launch by the Economic Freedom Fighters at the Moses Mabhida Stadium yesterday. So once again, I appreciate the feedback and Alakota Alfred pertaining to the quality of the sound, but I think we managed to get what the issues are there. The technical team has figured it out, so we're all good. Also Tsiamo there, he was just saying that we're experiencing a bit of challenges pertaining to that earlier broadcast. Yeah, so Setloholo sa batsweng ba baying Setloholo sa batsweng I don't see, oh Bamali, I think. Yeah, so he's saying on Twitter, good morning Bramrio, would like to congratulate Bafana Bafana for raising the Mzansi flag so high, our name is written there. Indeed, because we beat the Democratic Republic of Congo via penalties last night to grab the bronze medal at the Africa Cup of Nations. So congratulations, of course, to Bafana Bafana. Zico Smith on Twitter saying at Murimuriano at Tessa Dooms, after all the ANC is the governing party, so I'm not surprised to see Panya Panya abusing state resources to the benefit of Congo laws. And David M. Seleka saying it seems like the long arm of the law is catching up with Deputy President Paul Mashatile. Will he not dent the ANC anti-corruption campaign? Well, that is the question that the likes of Fikile Mbalula will answer when we get in touch with them. All right, we're going to have a guest in a short while to reflect on the expectations and what's going to be happening here at the Dobsonville Stadium in a second. Let's take a quick break, and when we return, we continue our conversation.
Speak up. Call the power line on 0861 987 000.
Okay, 20 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, coming to you live from Dobsonville Stadium in Soweto. We are now joined in studio by Mr. Cesar Pamla. He's a spokesperson for Gauteng Premier Panyaza Lusifi. Brasizwe, good morning to you. Welcome to Power.
Morning to you and morning to the listeners.
I see there's a hype of activities outside. When we walked in, the stadium is buzzing. There are a lot of people I saw. I don't know if you heard the names, because the crime wardens, they're known as Amapanyaza. We had the latest one on Friday, some lady from Tembisa saying she's happy because she feels safe when she sees them, but they call them Ama Green Beans. Were you aware of that one?
Well, indeed, they do have quite a number of nicknames. Look, we want to assume that those nicknames come from affection. So, yeah, well, indeed, look, the security is tight here because this is what we've been saying about the role of crime wardens, is that we want them to be visible, not just when we have government events, but you can go to any soccer stadium, music festivals, any of those sort of activities where there's high numbers of attendance. They are always there. And we want them to develop a relationship with communities, because for them to effectively serve the people, they need to be closer to the people. So when they are this visible, it's a way of not just introducing them to communities, but to make sure that they develop a relationship with the communities they serve.
This is very interesting because, honestly speaking, I'm seeing the crime wardens for the first time, like as in a close proximity and so on. I drive around Gauteng and so on, but today here at the stadium, I've seen them. And of course, there's been all these reports that, what type of people do they recruit? They're not fit, they're out of shape. But the people that I've seen here, it's completely different. I see young people, very fit and so on. Did you somehow change the category of selection? Or maybe there were only a few exceptions, but the majority have been people who are really fit and proper for this type of job.
Look, these young people went through a recruitment process. Their physical conditions were considered. And really this idea that they were unfit and some of them obese was just nonsense from the start. The reality is that for the first time, we've never seen a policy implementation that has received such opposition, especially not from even opposition parties, but the way the media itself has tended to cover crime wardens has been really unfair at times, because some of the allegations that have been made against them, they've proven to be untrue. And yet they are out there in the public space. When people talk about crime wardens, they make allegations and like, are you aware that these allegations were disproven at some point? But the reality is the communities who interact with crime wardens and who receive the services from the crime wardens are the ones who can tell a better story about what they think of the crime wardens. The reality is when they were first conceptualized, the idea was to start with TISH, which means Township Informal Settlements and Hostels. And they are doing a very good work, and they come from those areas. We recruit from hostels. Some of the crime wardens that you see around hostels are hostel dwellers. So they come from the communities that they serve. And these are young people, mainly. They're young people, of course. Some people are experienced. Some have been part of the law enforcement units at some point, and then they have rejoined as crime wardens. But the reality is that there's been a very thorough recruitment process that has looked at their physical condition, but also that has vetted them in terms of their records, whether they have a criminal record or whatever.
Yeah. Cesar Pamla speaks for the Premier of Gauteng, Panyaza Lesufi. I want us to talk a little bit about cooperative governance. And it came up very strongly, Cesar, during the Hammerskraal water crisis, where we saw the Minister of Water and Sanitation, Senzo Mgunu, coming down to the level of the city in Tshwane, and through the national, the provincial government and the city saying we have to work together in a cooperative way because the constitution allows that. So when the crime wardens were introduced, there were issues of whether national is aware and so on and so forth. And we see now in the city of Tshwane, for instance, we have seen now they've introduced these traffic points men and so on. In terms of cooperative governance, when it comes to the security cluster, have things been sorted out? We are all in the same page in terms of the three spheres of government.
Indeed. In fact, if you go back to the launch of the Crime Wardens, the Deputy Minister of Police was present.
Mr. Mattel?
Yes. And number two, these crime wardens are located in police stations all across the country. There's no way the crime wardens would have been allowed to operate inside the SAPS police stations if SAPS hierarchy wasn't aware of that. So the issue of, let's call it misunderstanding and miscommunication that happened afterwards, was really a surprise to the Gauteng provincial government, but we think now we have moved on. We have found an amicable solution. There's that intergovernmental partnership that we're talking about, where national, provincial, and local government are able to have this conversation. Because, in fact, when the Premier Banyaza Lesufi, in his 2023 State of the Province address, introduced the idea of crime wardens, he had sat down with SAPS and other law enforcement agencies in the province and asked, what is it that is wrong? Why are you struggling to push back against crime? They came back and said, firstly, when it comes to the tools of trade, we're struggling. When it comes to the numbers, we just don't have enough numbers on the ground. For an example, if you talk about law enforcement agencies in this province, I'm not talking SAPS, including all the traffic police and metro police, in Gauteng, there's 38,000 of them, policing a population of 15 plus million. Now, that's a police to citizen ratio of one police officer for every 546 citizens. It's unsustainable. It's unsustainable. So what the Premier did firstly was to say, okay, I'm going to donate cars. He bought 200 cars and gave to all police stations. And there's no way SAPS could say we were not aware of all of this. So he also bought two helicopters and made them accessible and available for other law enforcement agencies to use. And then said, how do we address the issue of dwindling numbers? Initially, he said, can I make funds available that you recruit SAPS for Gauteng? They said, according to the law, you cannot. Only a national budget can hire SAPS members. He then said, okay, I think I have an idea. Let's hire law enforcement officers that will be supervised by the provincial government. But then there will not be an independent body. There will be a force multiplier, which means they will be available to give support to all provincial law enforcement agencies that are already there, so that we can make sure that we do something about the police to citizen ratio in the province. So that is really the role of crime wardens, is to try to bridge that gap where you have one police officer for every 546 citizens. And they are not there to replace SAPS. They are there to work with SAPS to make sure that when you have got these roadblocks that you see, when you have the raids and all these other operations that SAPS every now and then will have, they do have enough numbers on the ground to make sure that they succeed.
The voice of Sizwe Phamla, who speaks for the Premier of Gauteng, Banyaza Lesufi. Of course, we're going to touch on why we're here today to explain it to us, but we just felt the issues of safety and security are quite paramount, and we should get, you know, because we have an opportunity to speak to him, let's explore those. So before we get into why we're here, I just want to wrap up the safety and security element. Mr. Phamla, we are seeing these unfortunate situations where school kids, children, are consuming products from spaza shops that are owned by foreign nationals. And we know somewhere in Brakpan last week there was even violence and whatever. And these things, okay, started in Soweto, two kids passed on and so forth. And I remember the Premier making pronouncements that he's going to do away with foreign nationals who are owning spaza shops, but as part of township economy improvement and improving the economy of Gauteng, those shops will go back to the hands of South Africans. But let's start with the issue of these products that are being sold in the province you lead, in the province of Gauteng, where children are dying and they continue to die. Why are you not intervening decisively?
Well, the intervention has already started. What would have noted of late is that National has come on board, because whatever is it that you do, especially when it comes to policing, you need to make sure that you allow National to take the lead. to avoid the conflict where the province sometimes takes drastic steps only to find out at the national level there's not a buy-in or people are not ready for that because of some legal consequences or considerations. So if you look, in fact, every Friday we meet to get a report from all the corridors where crime wardens are deployed. That is one of their priority areas in terms of raiding the illegal, not just illegal spaza shops, but illegal liquor establishments. That is one area that, as and when you read, go through the reports, you realize that they are making a huge progress on that front. We are very happy to hear that the Minister of Home Affairs, Minister Motsoaledi, has come out and said now there is a national mandate for provinces, not just Gauteng, for all provinces to actually audit all spaza shops in townships, which means now all authorities at a local and provincial and national level will partner to make sure that every councillor is aware of how many how many spaza shops are there. Sorry, how many spaza shops are there in a township or location, and who owns those, and they have to be registered. They have to be registered so as to make sure that we know who are these people and where do they source their products. So this is difficult because you are reversing something that has happened for quite a number of years without anyone taking steps. And also, South Africa as a country, it does have a responsibility. It has developed a reputation as xenophobic at times, which means as and when you are trying to implement this policy, you want to make sure that you enforce the law. At the end of the day, you also do not want to send a wrong message to say you have a government that is victimizing foreigners. So this is a balancing act that needs a partnership at all levels. And national is very critical because they have to manage those relations at an international and continental level. But the reality is that there is a serious commitment when it comes to dealing with that problem. It is a big problem.
Yeah. So, Minister Motsoaledi, I'm glad that you're mentioning him because he has pushed back against this kind of sentiment to say, and now people in South African government had fallen into this particular trap where when they have to apply the laws of the country for the sake of the sovereignty and the people of this country, people with their selfish interest, they flag the tech of xenophobia, and we are not a xenophobic country. So I'm hearing you, Mr. Pamela, as well, as if it paralyzes you within government, this thread that we are xenophobic.
Not necessarily, no. It's just that, look, the reality is we are committed to enforcing the laws of the country, but the laws that have to be enforced also have to be clear. They have to be able, because for you to enforce those laws, you cannot have gaps, because that's when you start to have problems. The reality is, yes, South Africa does have a responsibility to enforce its own laws, but it has to have those laws in the first place for everyone to be easy, to be comfortable when it comes to enforcing them. We have seen this when it comes to labor, for an example, where people bring workers from outside and then they work. And if you look at the laws, if you take those cases to a court of law, you realize that actually the laws allow for a portion of people to be employed from outside the country, and they are not listed these jobs as to which of the which jobs are banned or which jobs are permitted. So the issue of national taking a lead is very important. That's why I'm trying to overemphasize that point, because the reality is that whatever is it that we want to achieve, at the end of the day, we need to have that intergovernmental partnership where all layers of government, they work with each other, they know what is it that is being done and what is it that we want to achieve as government.
Yeah.
But the issue of managing international relations, you cannot downplay it, because South Africa cannot operate as an island. The reality is that, for an example, if you look at the regional trade, if you look at the international relations, they are very delicate. We were grappling with AGOA not long ago. It's a reminder of what it means. If you are going to grow an economy, you cannot be indifferent to what is going on at a geopolitical level. And these kinds of relations, they come back to haunt you at a later stage, because you can't develop a reputation and not interact with your partners to explain your own position. There are countries who actually take drastic steps when it comes to protecting their own sovereignty and or protecting their own citizens. But they go out to explain themselves and clarify as to why they are taking those steps, which is why we are saying if we work together.
That's exactly what we must do.
Yeah, that's exactly,
yeah, that's what exactly we must
that
do.
Is exactly,
yeah, what diplomacy is all about.
Exactly.
It's not,
yes,
we are not into a jungle.
Yes, yes.
I mean, conversation with Sizwe Phamla here, spokesperson for the Premier Panyaza Lesufi. By the way, if there's any question you want to pose, I think feel free to get in touch with us on 0861 987 000, or you can pose your question on X or Twitter at PowerFM987 using the hashtag PowerWeek, or tweet, send it to me directly at Murillo Muriano. We continue the conversation. Before now, we move to why we're here. Just one last question on issues of safety and security. We spoke about cooperative governance, Mr. Palmer. Let's take it now to intergovernmental. Interdepartmental. Construct,
yeah,
because we're focusing a lot on application of safety and security protocols around, yeah, the issues of spazas and so on that you're tidying it up.
Yeah.
But one thing that I don't hear from you, it's the health department, because it's not only a criminal act by itself of people who are here illegal goods or illegal this, but there's also the issue of health, and not only in the spaza shops, but just across the board. Is there a concerted effort to make sure that there is this, what you can call, multitask, you know, multitask the disciplinary team, so that you don't approach a problem one-dimensional, yeah, but in a multidimensional way?
Indeed. If you look at health, for example, health is a provincial competence, which means the powers lie with the province to actually take those drastic steps that are needed. So our health department, working with Department of Community Safety at a provincial level, the MECs have been at the forefront of ensuring that they tackle this problem, working together, but also bringing in COCTA, which because what you need to do is to make sure that you bring those councillors at a local level, and then also bring other departments who happen to deal with stakeholders, which is economic development, because you cannot just tackle this as a health problem. It is an economic problem, it is a safety problem. So there is a lot of partnership when it comes to tackling this problem, because the economic development is very much interested to find out who are these people and why are they doing what they are doing and how to stop them. At the same time, there are health considerations where the Department of Health comes in, and for all of that to be rectified, you then bring the Department of Community Safety that has the powers to arrest, to raid, to do whatever is it that is needed to correct this problem. Indeed, that's why I'm saying that every Friday, and in those meetings, all the MECs, they sit in those meetings, because whatever is it that crime wardens are identifying as a problem, it means other departments have to be present to take note of what is it that is being reported and what is their role or responsibility in terms of coming in and contributing to solving that problem. So indeed, yes, we are working very well together as various departments to make sure that when we tackle this problem, we tackle it holistically, as you have said.
Yeah. Sizwe Phamla, you speak for the Premier of Gauteng, Panyaza Lesufi. We are in Dobsonville. We are coming to you live from here. I'm the Noxman until the hour 12 o'clock. But for now, we have Sizwe Phamla here. Just tell us, why are we here? Why are we at the Dobsonville Stadium?
Well, today we are here to hand over employment letters to about 32,000 young people who are part of the Youth Brigade. These are young people who were previously employed by the Department of Basic Education at a national level as part of the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative. So they were given a 10-month contract last year, and they work in the Department of Education as assistant teachers and some others as just general assistants within the Department of Education. So when they are contracts expired last year, the Gauteng provincial government felt that their contribution when it comes to giving support to the education department cannot be underestimated, and the premier then made a commitment that these young people, once the national department terminates their contract or the contract expires, the province will have to take them over and employ them until the end of his term. So that is what we're here to do, is to take over those young people who are working for National. Now they will be employed as part of the Youth Brigade in the province, and they will continue to do the work that they were doing within the education sector.
All right. So, Mr. Palmer, are we saying today you're expecting 32,000 young people?
32,000 young people who are in the system already will be coming here today to receive their employment letters now that they are leaving national government and coming to work for the provincial government.
Yeah. Somebody raised a concern on Twitter to say, is your planning up to scratch? Because 32,000 seem to be more... To be more people than the capacity of Dobsonville Stadium, to say, are you not risking a situation?
No, not at all. We have factored all of those things. We've been doing these events for quite some time. We've gotten the hang of it now. We're very comfortable that the young people will come here will be safe. As you have said yourself, the security is tight outside. Everything is under control.
Yeah. Mr. Palmer, you said something very interesting, to say that this 32,000 young people, the confirmation letters will be saying you're employed until the term of the premier.
Yeah.
And we know we're going to the elections. ANC in the previous elections slightly above 50%, and people that were even asking to say, should Premier Lesufi not retain his position? What happens to the positions of these young people? Because we had other political parties saying, when we take over, we're going to reverse what Panyaza did. So how do you guarantee these young people that whatever happens, whether Premier remains or not, but in terms of your contracts, you're there for 5 years or so, especially you coming with a very strong Labour background?
No, you see, the problem with political parties is, especially when they are in opposition benches, sometimes they don't have to sift through what they say in the public space. Premier Lesufi isn't employing these young people as an individual. They are employed by government. They have a contract with a government, Gauteng government. And these young people are employed under the Public Service Act, mainly, a majority of them, which then tells you that they are protected by the labor laws of the country. So there's no individual, no matter how they feel. When it comes to law and labor law in particular, feelings really don't matter. So when we are saying we're giving them appointment letters, it means those are legal documents. Those are legal documents that protect them and that gives them the protection that says whoever developed feelings at some point. But we're not really having that conversation right now, because I think the Premier has made it very clear himself that from a political perspective, he's looking forward to becoming the Premier of this province for the next foreseeable future. So we're not going to delve into that. In fact, the planning that we're having, we're not having a planning that is talking about the end of the sixth administration. We are having a planning that speaks to the future of this province. So the conversations you will hear from the State of the Province address, the Premier is having big plans about the province, about where the province is going to go going forward, because he's going to continue to bear the helm of this province.
So, Mr. Palmer, after you've given them the confirmation letters, when do they start working?
As soon as they are officially employed. Because remember, these are people who are already in the system.
Yeah.
They know where to report because they were working in those schools. So it's a question of you get that letter that now says you are appointed officially, report on this particular day. The letter itself is specific as to when are you expected to report for duty, because we're not shifting them from where they were working. These are people who were working under the provincial education system anyway. So it's a question of just finalizing the appointment so that they can come back to the system, and then issues of remuneration can also be finalized.
Can we safely say, because we are in the middle of February, can we safely say by the 1st of March, basically they can start the employment? How does it work?
I don't have specific dates. I'm sure the Department of Gauteng Education will be able to provide those details. I don't want to speculate. But what I can tell you is that today they are being officially employed, which means they are being brought here because so that they can receive these letters, and these letters protect them, and they also employ them so that going forward they can abide by the contractual obligations, and also the province can honor the commitment that it will be making to them today.
Yeah. Mr. Palmer, before we release you, are the people who wants to pose questions also? Okay, who's there? I can't see from that distance. Who's that?
Bhutana.
Oh, Bhutana. Okay, let's welcome Bhutana. Bhutana, good morning. You're welcome. Hello, Butana. Okay, I think we are back with our challenges as far as that is concerned. Okay, Bramko, I think we'll try and reconnect. We are having a bit of a challenges. Okay, Mr. Palmer, before we release you, Nasi Spani, that's the official. And this is, I mean, it started some time back. Crime wardens, then the solar panels, now the assistant educators. It's moving and moving and moving. So there are two differing opinions. One opinion says this is a classic electioneering strategy by Premier Panyaza Lesufi. The second school of thought says, no, we know the high unemployment rate in the country. It's a deliberate pushing back the frontiers of unemployment in the province. Which is which?
You can go back to the argument about the vision that people normally have of a government. You have the free marketeers who believe that you can hand over everything to the private sector and hope for the best. But I think everyone has experimented with that. And people have said before, oh, maybe you should just give tenders and then allow the people to employ the young people. So what the Gauteng provincial government has done is to say, you can actually do both. You can balance, firstly, you can take responsibility of creating a conducive environment for businesses to thrive so that the private sector can employ young people. That's why you look at the program that speaks to township economy. You talk about the SEZ in the province. They are making a lot of progress and they are absorbing a lot of young people. But also the state, as we have argued and we continue to argue, it does have a role, especially when it comes to delivering services. Those services, the state can employ young people to deliver those services to the people. So people will talk about this is an electioneering ploy. Well, when you get elected, I'm sure many of those people are in the political space. They know you get a five-year mandate. A five-year mandate means that for the next 5 years, you have a commitment that you have to honor, that you have made to the people, and you should honor that. And what is worrying about that is, I think these people do not appreciate that we signed up to becoming a democracy, which means every 36 months we have elections. So if every 36 months you have elections, then at some point people need to raise this issue and be specific. At what point do they expect that a sitting government suspend this delivery so that they can feel comfortable that is not electionary? So I'm sorry to say this. It's one of the most nonsensical arguments I've ever had in the public space. Because in 2021, in November, we had local government election, which means hardly 36 months later, we have another election. 36 months from now, we'll have another round of elections. So at what point do you suspend service delivery so that you are not accused of electioneering? So it's really a non-issue, and it's distracting, which is why as Gauteng provincial government, we are steaming ahead to absorb the unemployed young people. If you look at the households who are receiving hope, whose livelihoods are being changed, young people who are seated at home watching their dreams pass them by, and they wake up realizing actually that all is not lost, you do not listen to those kinds of arguments. You look at the faces of those young people and you know you're on the right path.
Let's go to the phone lines and let's hope we've reconnected. Please, can you bring Butana back there in Houghton, because we couldn't get hold of him. We know how passionate he is about this politics. Let's go to Monica in Mapetla. Monica, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning to you and your guests. Very interesting. I mean, as South Africans, we have all the right to be safe. It's not a favor. And another thing, it is an open secret that the money for police, proper policing, someone just took it. It was diverted somewhere else. This 32,000 young employees is very interesting also, that they were employed by the department. Don't you see any disruption from there? I call them the Dinjolo siblings. I'm also interested, how much are they going to pay them? Is the money going to be sustainable to pay Uma Stand, to buy Uma Pampas, and to pay field policies for aunts and uncle? Or is just going to fizzle out because the money won't be there? It's also interesting that the term it's tagged with the premier's term of the office. That is patronage.
Okay, Monica, there we'll get Cesar to answer, but let me go to Pongola, Ntlantla. Welcome.
Ah, yes, Mario. Thank you so much for taking my call, man. I have two questions to the spokesperson there. One is about the road. I think it's Beyersnod here towards N14. The road, it looks like it's a construction, and it looks horrible, man. It's like it's an abandoned construction of some sort. It's only the road sign which is left there. There is nothing happening, and the road is ugly. I just want to check what is happening, really. And the second issue is about the cars for Mabanyabanya. The provincial inspector or the traffic officers, I've seen some of them, they are driving your Toyota Corollas, but your Mabanyabanya, they are driving these powerful machines, your BMW. And I just want to check, why is the department not actually just giving the traffic officers, the permanent guys, the powerful cars, and give this Mabanyabanya your Toyota Corollas? What is happening there? Thank you so much, Maureen.
One season, because we need to release you. Lucky Mamukhali also on Twitter saying, please ask Mr. Palmla that where did they get the budget for the employment, because the president said it's not the government duty to create employment. And again, why now during the election campaign? But I think maybe let's focus on the budget, because you answered some of those.
Yeah.
But wrap it up.
Well, firstly, I think one of the callers is saying, if I heard correctly, he's saying that this is patronage because it's a five-month contract. Actually, the reason why it is a five-month contract isn't necessarily linked to the political term per se. It is linked to the budget limitations to say you can only spend the money that you have. And you remember the financial year of government starts on the 1st of April, which means you cannot then overcommit yourself when you don't know how much will be allocated to you after the 1st of April in terms of budget. So this is responsible governance, where you say, I am willing to make sure that I take these young people from home and give them some employment, but I'm not going to overcommit and be reckless. So this is really has got to do with budget constraints. As soon as the provincial government has received the budget for the next year, it will be able to allocate accordingly. In some instances, I'm not particularly saying this one, I'm just saying in some instances, those who are on contract are likely to receive extension, but that will be determined by what the provincial government regards as elevated priorities and whether the budget allows for all of them or some of them to be kept. So the reality is, when you are working with limited resources, as government is these days, you have to do what you can with the resources that you have. So it's got nothing to do with a political term. It's got everything to do with the fact that government looked at the budget that was on the table and said, we think we can afford this. Now, just to answer that, I think the second one was about a road construction that is unfinished or abandoned. I wouldn't really want to talk to that because I don't have the facts. I do believe that the Department of Transport in the province will be better placed to actually give a specific answer when it comes to that. The third one was?
I think you cover them all.
Yes.
Okay, so it's going to be happening. So the event starts at 11 o'clock. Let's take the opportunity to thank Mr. Sizwe Palmla, the spokesperson for the Premier of Gauteng, Panyazal Sufi. Yeah, so we'll continue giving you feedback in terms of the developments. So we're back to Gauteng, and after that, we'll be speaking to one of the beneficiaries of this project, the Anasi Span. Okay, you want to wrap up something
yes.
quickly?
Yeah. Yes. No. Actually, I remember there was a third one. The third one was about the cars.
The Mabanyaza powerful Span. Cars
yes,
versus the
yeah. No, I want to make it very clear that actually the provincial government has donated cars, 200 cars to SAPS, BMWs, and it has given Gauteng traffic officers the same BMWs. So it's not a question of which department is getting what. The Gauteng provincial government bought BMWs all across the board and has distributed them equally to all the deserving law enforcement units. The reason why the Premier decided to go for high-powered vehicles was because if you look at criminals in the province, they are not using Toyota Tezzes when they are robbing people. They are using powerful cars. So the idea here is that if you want your law enforcement agencies to be able to keep up and to be able to push back against criminals, you also need to equip them accordingly. So this is not just a question of cars. There are drones that are being introduced into the province. There are cameras that are being installed all across the province. So when it comes to law enforcement in the province, the Premier has said we need to equip our law enforcement units with the best equipment available out there on the market to make sure that they stand a chance of pushing back against criminals.
There we have it. Cesar Palmer, we're back with you after this short break.
Keeping you updated to what's happening in your world. Power 98.7. Now, we're talking.
Your Sunday Marketplace of Ideas with me, Noxman Murio Sanyane, coming to you live from Dobsonville Stadium, where the Premier, Panyaza Lesufi, will be allocating 32,000 confirmation letters for the young men and women who will be continuing the work as education assistants. Asivile Masiza is with us here in the studio. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm all good.
Thank you.
You're all smiles.
Yes, I am. It's a very good day.
It's a good day.
Yes, it is.
All right. Just tell, because we were speaking to the spokesperson of the Premier. He was saying, you guys are not starting this thing. You have been working before as education assistants until your contract expired and so on and so forth. So were you part of those who were working before under Department of Basic Education?
Thank you for having me, sir. Yes, we started working last year at 1st of February. And then our contract was from the 1st of February until the 31st of September, and then it was extended until the 31st of December. So we have been working, and then this year some of us came back to volunteer since our contract ended the 31st of December. We came back to volunteer just the first few weeks of January because we had been enjoying working there.
Yeah.
And then I think about last week, then the school received an email that they should call in all the youth brigades or the PYEIs, but then some of us had already been working.
Yeah.
So now our contract for this year has started on the 1st of February until June.
Mm, okay, interesting indeed. So you say you were enjoying the work.
Yes.
What do you do actually in schools?
So we were placed in different departments.
Oh, okay.
So since we were working in a high school, we had a department of humanities, we have your commerce department, your science department, your maths department, your administrative department. So I was working under the admin department, so I will help with reception work, assisting parents who are coming in for inquiries. Then I'll also assist educators who need question papers or activities for learners, so I will make copies for them. And then I will also assist with admissions. So there's admission for grade 8, so I'll also assist with admission, and also with SAMS, a South African system for education. So I'll assist with SAMS, such as printing out mark sheet and learner listing.
Oh, so it's purely an administrative work.
Yes.
So what qualification did you obtain? And after you obtained your qualification, how long were you at home without employment until this opportunity came?
So I am a alumni from the Tshwane University of Technology. I graduated at 2022. So I stayed about 3 to 4 months because I applied in 2022 around September. So I stayed for a year because we only started working in 2023 from the 1st of February. So I was unemployed for about a year. I was applying for other jobs until I applied for ISPANI program, and then I was called for an interview. I applied in September, and then I was called in for an interview in November.
Yeah.
Then we started working the following way in February.
All right. There was a question posed, but not necessarily about you guys, but they were also talking about, but you guys and also Ama Panyaza, Ama Green Beans and all those kind of things. You say, are you guys just being given a stipend, or is it something that is the payment? Is it something that is worthwhile that, you know, can assist you together with whoever within family? Actually, there was a question from a regular caller from Mapetla Monica to say, what they pay you? Is it a stipend, or you feel that it is a decent salary?
It is a stipend because it covers our basic needs. Yeah, it is a stipend. It just covers our basic needs, and we are also able to help at home.
Yeah.
And to also not to ask for things like your data, your toiletries, so like you are able to do things for yourself with that stipend. And we, since we stay in the around the community, we don't have to use transport to get to work, so you just walk to work.
Yeah. The spokesperson of the Premier, Mr. Sizwe Palmer, was telling us that with these confirmation letters that are going to be given to you guys, it's more of a 5-year contract. So, were you aware that the confirmation letter, it will be like for 5 years?
No, sir, we were not aware about that. We were just told that you will start from the 1st of February until June.
Yeah.
So, we were not aware, it's a 5-year
contract. I didn't invent that, isn't it, Bronco? I didn't create that. It was said by the spokesperson of the Premier that you are good girls and boys, so you're going to get 5-year contract. So we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully when we get that confirmation letter, they will tell you those things.
We can't wait.
Yeah. As soon as you get that letter, can you come back and show us?
Definitely.
But you can hide the money, okay? Just keep the money confidential. But we just want to see whether it's for 3 months, 4 months, or is it really for 5 years?
Well, definitely.
Okay. All right. And where are you from?
I'm from Tsepiso.
Tsepiso. Where is Tsepiso?
In Roodepoort.
Oh, Roodepoort. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's one of the beneficiaries of Nasi Spani Asivile Masiza, who will be receiving her appointment letter today here at the Dobsonville Stadium.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.